on the line with us is divorce attorney Gemma Allen. Good morning, Gemma. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you.
You are at the law firm of Allen, Glassman, and Schatz. How'd you get first position, Gemma?
I got there first. I was actually a founding partner and then was lucky enough to just have a long-term partner named Todd Glassman, and we just were also blessed to add Jonathan Schatz. So we're a very happy, expanding group. Looking forward to a new year.
You are you specialize, amongst other things, in divorce. You've been a divorce attorney, you told me, for how many years?
Over 25 and counting.
25 and counting.
Yes. And a long time, a lot of experience.
And why are we talking about divorce in January is because we just talked about bankruptcy, because we know that bankruptcy filings are the largest in January. And also, to the chagrin of a lot of people, divorce filings, the number one month for divorce filings is January as well. Right, Counselor?
You're absolutely right. And there are about three reasons for that that come to mind. One is people have waited. You know, through the holidays, they wanted to give their family one last holiday that was normalized, or just the stress of the holidays. I mean, you know, it can be a stressful time with other family members, with financial issues, et cetera. And then the third reason is a more optimistic reason, and that is new beginnings. People make resolutions. The beginning of the year, the beginning of a month is a time to say, okay, what do I want the next chapter of my life to look like? So there's three reasons that it's very common, and we find it every year.
According to Marriage.com, which is kind of ironic for this statistic, but according to Marriage.com, 50% of all marriages end in divorce, and most of them end within the first 7 years. Do you see that sort of statistic holding true in your practice?
You know, I feel something a little bit more optimistic going on. I think the divorce rate is declining somewhat. And I think it's closer to 40% now, although if you're in certain professions like athletes, you might be looking at a much higher statistic. But as a general norm, I think we're declining. People are marrying later. They're marrying more thoughtfully. And then the last aspect of that is some people aren't marrying at all. There's a huge trend now towards cohabitation instead of marriage. So, of course, that takes down the divorce rate as well.
And everything has to do with legal. And you just brought up something very, very, very important with the listenership in our population, either foregoing marriage or getting married later or buying properties with a partner. And a partner can be a same-sex partner, could be a different-sex partner. But if you buy a property, and I'd like you to discuss this, because it might not be for our listeners per se, but it might be for our listeners' kids, nieces, nephews, grandkids, but explain the challenges and the legal challenges and the legal risks of buying a home with someone that you're not married to when, if and when you break up, because there won't be a divorce in play, but when somebody breaks up and they buy a property in a partnership agreement.
Well, there's a lot of risks involved in buying property when you're not married. With marriage comes 1,200 legal rights, and property ownership is one of them where you're just in a better position. If you don't marry, there are ways to hold property either in a partnership or with a contractual agreement. But you have to be very careful in Illinois because we don't have rights of cohabitation per se. Illinois is a conservative state. We still believe in marriage. And we say that if you're not married, though, there will be some legal consequences. And that includes, unless you're on title, you don't have any ownership rights whatsoever. In order to be on title, you can do it when you buy the property. You can make an agreement that you will be different percentage owners. You can approach it fairly and say, listen, I put in a third, you put in two-thirds. Let's hold this as 30% and 70% as tenancies in common. But you have to make it legal. You have to have a document because otherwise, I think you know better than most, law is unforgiving in real estate.
Oh,
there's no middle ground.
You want a mess, and we got to hit a break here, but we'll pick it up on the other side. 312 just texted in. Gemma is awesome. She saved my life. Divorce of 64 years. So you got that going. Wow. You got a happy listener out there who wanted to chime in. So thank you, texter. When you start getting into, and I say this for a guy and a gal, so I don't want to be sexist, but if a guy is coming in and is dating a woman, and they're not married, and a woman is dating a guy and they're not married, and they're going to get married in 6 months, 12 months, great. I always recommend to the one party, don't buy the house jointly until you walk down the aisle and have a marriage certificate and say your I do's. Because boyfriends and girlfriends become ex-boyfriends and girlfriends, boyfriends and girlfriends become ex-boyfriends, boyfriends, girlfriends, girlfriends all the time. Okay, and
you're right.
And all because you get engaged doesn't mean you're actually going to walk down the aisle. And then you throw in a 2, 3, 8, 7, 6, 7, 800 million dollar property in there, and try splicing that up after everything breaks apart. It's a flipping mess, and that's a legal term: flipping mess.
I like it. But the other thing is that people who are in love with each other just assume that what's yours is mine, and you see it my way and I see it your way. When that assumption is gone, you better be protected by the law. And you're right, better to wait until you're married. But cohabitation is so much on the rise, David,
sure,
that we also have to see that. And say that, okay, if you're going to think that cohabitation is easier than marriage and a potential divorce, you're a little bit right, but you're a lot wrong, because you lose all those legal assumptions that come with marriage, and you have to be more self-protective.
I want to hear, we got to hit a break here. I got to throw it over to Donnie in the Northwestern Medical Newsroom. Northwestern, I got that right, Northwestern Medical Newsroom. But I want you to come back after the break and talk about the mistakes, common mistakes that our listeners make going into divorce that they should be doing, and the horror stories, some of the train wrecks you've heard of, because I hear them all the time. But we got a text message here for you, Gemma, if you don't mind taking that. 630 wants to know, what if the guy owned the house for 3 years before they were married? My name was not added to the title. So I guess the woman is saying this. The guy, okay, what if the guy owned the home for 3 years before we got married? My name was not added to the title. Married for 12 years and now filing for divorce in Illinois, January, typical. How are the property assets split? Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a problem too. I think that if somebody owns something before you were married and you were not added to the title, we are a state that classifies assets as either marital or non-marital. And that property would be the non-marital asset, so it wouldn't be subject to division in the divorce. However, just to give some comfort to people in that position, and there are many, there are arguments you can make about contribution. It's not going to get you half the value. It's not going to get you any given percentage of the value, but it is an argument worth making if you help pay the mortgage, if there was a remodeling and you contributed to it, even if you were a person who was working at home as a mom and caretaker of the children, you've made certain contributions. So you have arguments, but you don't have rights. Yes. So it's a difficult position.
So in that situation, right, when you get married, yes, the guy owns the home, the gal is coming in, right? They've been married for 12 years. Find out what the home was worth at the time. I'm just flow charting this, and tell me if you think it's correct. Find out what the property's worth at the time you get married. Simple $300 to $500 appraisal, right? Or go on Zillow and look at it. Find out what the equity position is. What does that mean? You take the value minus the mortgage. That's what the equity position is. And say, as of that point, we're 50-50 partners. Is that a safe way of mapping it out?
It's a little optimistic. It's a way to make the argument. I think, you know, divorce law, like every other part of law, is about advocacy.
Yeah.
You want a good advocate. You sound like you'd be great, David, and you know real estate, you know, cold. But the fact is, it's advocacy. So then you could advocate and make that argument, and I think it's a very smart way to go about it. It's also a good way to go about it if you have a check that was made to a contractor or to the mortgage. Divorce is a lot about preparation and documentation. So if you have actual financial records that trace your contributions, that also helps. Because sometimes the market just changed the growth, you know, sure. the value of a property. So the argument will be that that would have been, passive growth would have happened whether you were in the picture or not. So it's important to also show active contribution that you made to that property. And the other argument you can make is perhaps there's some other asset where you should get more than half for some other reasons. So, you know, you're never without arguments in family law. No one should ever despair. By the same token, everyone has to prepare because you need to be in a position to either yourself or give your lawyer tools to help you win.
All right. Well, that kind of took us off course here. So in 2 minutes, we got 2 minutes before the end of the segment. Give our listeners some type of tips, like what's the best tip you could give, top one or two tips that you could give in 2 minutes, if they're thinking about going and thinking about filing for a divorce. And it might not be them. It might be their kids, their nieces, nephews, grandkids. Go ahead.
Well, and over 50 is where the divorce rates are actually escalating. So it could be everybody, David. That's an interesting fact. But yes, it's the one age group where divorce rates are actually on the increase. But the other three, to answer your question, number one, prepare. Lack of preparation is a big problem. Start to assemble tax records, bank records, 401k information. Information is power, always and certainly in divorce. Secondly, don't let emotions rule. It's so easy in divorce because you feel financially betrayed, emotionally betrayed. It's a process, but try to take that process to a psychologist and keep it out of the divorce business because divorce is about a division of assets and you have to keep your head in about you. And the last thing is realize that divorce is always about division. So don't blame the other person when you each walk out with less. It's about division. The first, you know, letters are DIV. It's a division of assets, and you really have to think about not dividing your children. And that's the most important advice at all.
And
reconfigure your family. Don't divide it.
And real quick, in 30 seconds or less, the child support law was recently changed a couple of years back. Can you give it in 30 seconds what our listeners need to be aware of about getting child support or spousal? Go.
It's an income share model. So both of your incomes will be fed into a computerized program, and the computer will then decide based on who has a certain amount of time with the child and based on your respective incomes what the child support should be passing from one household to the other. It is a joint duty of support. Make no mistake about it.
If our listeners want to reach out to you and get more information about a divorce or have a consultation with you and your team, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you, Gemma?
Our number is 312-853-3000, and our website is www.allenglassmanschatz.com. And we really welcome consultations, and we don't charge for them because we do believe in what we do. It's kind of a mission with us as well as a business.
Well, everybody that's interviewed you here on WGN said you would be awesome expert and a great interview, and you did not disappoint. So I want to thank you for that. We've been speaking with Gemma Allen from the Allen Glassman and Schatz Law Group. Have a happy and a healthy new year, my friend.
You too, David. It was a pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye.